So this morning, this is one more thing that I want us to have confidence in. You are so precious. Do you ever feel like you don't count? Do you ever feel like if you didn't show up, nobody'd notice? You know, sometimes in our small brains and small areas of awareness, sometimes we misconnect with each other. We always should work hard to make sure we don't miss connecting with any individual wherever we are. I mean, there's only so many minutes in an hour and so many hours in a day, so you can't talk to everybody at work or everybody at school or even everybody necessarily in this room. But in the interconnection of a congregation, I pray that no one leaves here without being shown God's love for you from somebody else. But even if nobody here notices, even if our brains are distracted and our lives are self-centered or otherwise just pulled away, you are so precious to God, and your presence is powerful. We don't realize how powerful walking into a room is. Monday morning, tomorrow morning, many of you will go to work, and when you walk into the office, you make a difference. When you walk into that classroom, into that school, into that work environment, you make a big difference. For one simple fact, you're going to occupy a position there. Try not walking in and see if anybody notices for a day or two. You'll get a phone call. It may not be a pleasant phone call. Those are Satan's lies that tells you that you won't be missed, that tells you that you're not important, that tells you that nobody will notice if you don't show up. You don't understand how powerful you are. That God participates with you in his powerful character. This morning, we're going to talk about how powerful our participation with God is in prayer. You know, we misuse prayer, misthink prayer. Well, I don't know, I can't do anything. I can't do anything but pray. Well, I can't help him out, but I'll pray. Oh, my goodness. You enter yourself into prayer, and you are engaging the creator of the universe and bringing his attention through you into a particular aspect of your life or your environment. Oh, I can't do anything. I guess I'll pray. It's all I can do. Oh, my goodness. Heavenly Father, help us to understand the power of prayer. I'd like to do away with the phrase, let's have a quick prayer. Not picking on anybody. Let's pray. Let's pray. A three-word prayer is a powerful prayer. You don't need a lot of words to have a powerful prayer. Jesus specifically says that. Lord, help me. Lord, help them. Heal them. Strengthen them. Oh, prayer doesn't need to be much to be powerful. But let's not sell it short ever, ever, ever. You know, it's interesting. In Luke 18, I hope you're there with me. In Luke 18, thank you, Jim, for reading that. Jesus doesn't always do this, but in this case, we're given two stories, and in both stories, we're taught the point of the story before he says it. Sometimes Christ tells us the point of a story after he says it, and sometimes he never tells us, and we have to figure it out for ourselves. But in both of these stories on prayer, Jesus tells us specifically why he's telling us. the first story about the widow, he's telling them this parable to show that at all times they ought to pray. When should you pray? At all times. Can you pray right now? Sure. You could pray for me. You could pray that the sermon's not too long. If you're tired, you could pray to stay awake. Or maybe that you'll get a good nap and nobody will notice. You see, I'm not trying to be flippant, even though that was a little flippant. I'm not trying to be flippant. I think the scripture teaches us, you can bring anything to God in prayer. You have a thought in your mind or a thought on your heart. Do you think your Heavenly Father knows about that thought? Absolutely. What, you think you're going to hide it from Him? Bring it to Him. Father, I don't know what to do with this. Teach me, show me, grow me, change me. I think you can tell, and I think the scripture shows, that you can bring anything to God. And I truly mean anything. He knows every aspect of your life. And if it's something that's on your heart with hope or confusion or hurt or wonder or doubt, bring it to Him. This woman, this widow, and of course widows, especially in that society, had very little power, very few rights, very little respect. And this judge doesn't want to deal with her. Oh my goodness, here she comes again. Well, please, yeah, I know. I heard it, go away. She left? Oh, good. Wow, that lady comes to me. Oh no, here she comes again. All right. I agree with you. You get your judgment. The man has to pay you back, or whatever it is that her enemy was harassing her over. Or maybe she doesn't have to pay him because he's unjustly charging her for something. Or whatever it is. You know who the judge is compared to? It's almost startling. If you or I made up this story, we'd be embarrassed because of the disrespect. The judge, the man who didn't want to listen, who didn't respect God and didn't respect man, is parallel to God. If a human judge will give a woman some answer to her continual request, her repeated, irritating begging, how much more will God bring justice to His elect when we cry out to Him day and night? When should we pray? At all times. And when should we give up prayers? When should we quit? Jesus said, don't lose heart. Don't stop. Your prayers should be regular. And then in the second story, there's people who trust in their own righteousness, like this Pharisee did. God, I'm so glad I'm not like those other people out there. I'm so glad you've got me on your team. I mean, how good must it be for you, God, to have me with you? I'm so glad I'm not like this guy over here. No. Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in your righteousness. And you honor other people. You have no idea what their walk is like. You have no idea what their background is like. You have no idea what their pain is like. You have no idea what their faith is like. You honor other people and humble yourself. So, our prayer instructions so far, pray at all times, never quit, and trust God completely, not your own righteousness. Let's turn to where Dave read for us, Ephesians chapter 6. Thank you, Dave. You've saved us some time by reading about the armor of God, reading about the power. I say this almost every time I bring it up, but we kind of wrong ourselves by teaching about the armor of God like it's a children's story. I think we ought to teach it to our children. I love the little plastic armor outfits that our children get to wear. That's all great, but sometimes we do that so much that as adults, we hold the imagery away from us because it's cute, but it's not really us. It's for them. No, that's not who this is written for. This is our armor. I'm sorry. It's God's armor. It's God's armor. And to open up this part, he says, be strong in the Lord and in his great might, in the strength of his might. There are three words of power in that one verse. There are three words, different Greek words of power, of strength. God's power, strong, power, and might. And all three of those concepts aren't just for him, they're yours. They're yours. And if you as one person stand strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, guess how strong you're standing. You think you don't matter? Satan would love for you to think you don't matter. Satan would love for you to think that you're not important. Satan would love for you to think you can't accomplish things. God says you can. God says you have his power. God says you have his might. God says you have his strength. In Christ, you have incredible power. Your body might feel weak. Your mind might be fatigued. Your bank account might be empty. Your house might be burned to the ground. You might be fired from your job. All sorts of things might be going wrong for you, but in Christ, you are powerful. Amen? Thank you. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God. I have to be careful with imagery because any image we bring up is a failing image, and it falls way short, but I've got a couple of images here, if you don't mind. This is God's armor. This isn't God's armor. That's an image of somebody that drew it up, and I was looking for a good image of God's armor, and that's pretty awesome. I mean, that looks pretty powerful from a human point of view. God's armor is much, 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 much more powerful than any image like that, but that's not bad. A little over the top. I mean, the guy who drew that really wanted to draw strong-looking, exaggerated armor. But remember, every bit of it is God's. It's his word, which is a sword of the Spirit. Even the faith was authored and perfected by Christ. So our faith is his faith, that shield of faith. And the breastplate is his righteousness, and the salvation is his salvation, and the truth is his truth, and the feet are fitted with the gospel, and his peace. Every bit of it is his, and you get to put it on, and it fits. Remember, David tried to put on Saul's armor, didn't fit, wasn't right. Worldly armor, worldly king, real boy trying to go up against a giant. I can't wear this armor. Well, you can wear this armor. In fact, you need to wear this armor. It's God's armor. You put it on. The word, faith, righteousness, salvation, truth, and peace. You have it all. You put it on. Put it on. Just do it. It's a command. You choose to stand in this armor, and you can stand up against anything Satan tries to throw at you. outfitted from God, you win. I'm not going to get into the struggle. The struggle is outstanding. It's amazing combat we're in. It's a real combat where people really die. People really die in this combat. Eternally die and eternally live. Now, this armor, this image up here, isn't what somebody reading the letter of to the Ephesians would have thought of in the first century when they wrote this. They would have thought of something more like this. And I like this image. I like it better, except for two big reasons and one small reason. The small reason is those aren't flaming arrows. I mean, Satan's arrows are flaming arrows. But anyway, that's splitting hairs. But there's two other problems with this. One is, it took me a while, but he's not holding a sword. He's holding spears. And I think that might be a good metaphor for the mistakes we tend to make. Hey, I can throw a spear. I'd rather carry a spear than a sword to keep the enemy at bay. So I'll bring up my own stuff rather than God's stuff. That might be a good metaphor for that. But this image is wrong at that level. But it's wrong at a more basic level. What's he doing? What does God say to do? God says, stand. Be strong in the Lord and his might. Put on the full armor of God. And he says it four times. Verse 11, stand. Verse 13, the word my Bible has is resist. Yours might have stand against. But that's the same word with an added emphasis of pushing against something. It's also the word to stand. And then at the end of verse 13, stand firm. And at the beginning of verse 14, stand firm. What do you think he wants you to do? You put his armor on. What does he think he wants you to do? You stand. Now, I understand in other metaphors of Scripture, we walk down a pathway. We have a walk in Christ. We walk in the light. We do other things in other metaphors. But in this metaphor, in this teaching, you stand. God has put you somewhere. Stand. Don't retreat. Don't go anywhere else. You stand. Stand. You stand. He's put you there to stand. Be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God. Stand. Stand against. Stand firm. Stand firm. And what are you supposed to be doing? What do you tell? What would a soldier expect to do if you gave him a shield and a sword and a helmet and you outfitted him with that armor? What would he expect to do? Fight, attack, defend, do something. What does God tell you to do? What's the actions? Well, two actions. One, stand. Stand is one action. That's a verb. And we're given one more action to do. The stand, we're told four times to stand. This one, we're told five times. What's this soldier supposed to do? What are you supposed to be doing with all of God's armor on? Pray. Pray, 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 pray. Five times. We're told when you're armored up, when you're ready to serve God as a soldier, you know what this does? I used to ask our dear sister, our dear, 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 dear sister, Mabel House. I wish every one of you could go back and meet her. I know some of you don't hear that name and don't have an image of that dear lady. One of the most active and powerful soldiers for the Lord I've ever met. In her 80s, she ended up not being able to come to church anymore in her mid-80s, and she had to stay at a senior center not far from here. Had moved around to different care facilities because her ailments weakened her so much. But before she got particularly weak, when she was still able to come, She told us, I asked God, if he wants, he can take my strength. He can take my body. He can take my abilities. But Lord, please don't take my mind, because I don't want to live if I can't be praying for the church. That woman would spend her days, hour upon hour, praying name by name by name for this congregation. And you know what happened to her? She got so she couldn't walk. She got so she couldn't sit up. She couldn't hardly do anything to care for herself. And it even got so bad that her speech became slurred. I'd get embarrassed visiting with her. She was such a dear, sweet lady. Just oozed care and love from her. But she would say something to you, and I would try so hard, and I couldn't understand her. And I hated asking her to repeat herself. It sounded so disrespectful, but you'd have to if you're trying to have a conversation. I'm sorry, Mabel, what did you say? And she'd repeat herself. And sometimes, even then, I would not understand what she said. Her mind was sharp. God answered her prayer exactly as she asked for it, and she continued to pray. I would go visit, Carol would go visit, others would go visit, and she would ask about every other member in the congregation. She would say, how's so-and-so doing? How did the graduation go for this high school student? Is that child still sick? And on and on and on. She prayed. She prayed and prayed. The most powerful soldier I've ever seen in the Lord couldn't get out of bed. And I don't mean to compare her to others. Please forgive me if that sounds like comparison. I don't mean that at all. I mean the power of God in prayer is more amazing than we can possibly know. And you don't need to be able to do anything except think to engage God's power. And I ask the congregation, who's going to pray for us now that she's passed away? I have the answer to that now. The answer to that is you are. You and I are. I ask you to join me and to step up our prayer life, that we can be a congregation who maturely and diligently focuses on prayer. You know what Ephesians 6 says we're supposed to pray for? Verse 18, pray and petition. It's a different kind of prayer. With all prayer and petition, all prayer, all kinds of prayer, all times for prayer, all words for prayer, all ideas in prayer, but with all prayer and petition, pray at all times, we had that already, in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. What does that mean? A quick answer, if you don't mind. I think it's a prayer of trust and a prayer of humility and a prayer of willingness. Lord, whatever you want, whatever you want. Pray at all times in the Spirit, with this in view, beyond the alert, with all perseverance and petition. That's four. For all the saints. Who are you supposed to be praying for? Every one of you. Every one of you. Pray for everybody in the Valley congregation. Your men have started doing that for you. Our men's group on Tuesday night we passed out to one another directories. And we're going name by name by name throughout the week down the directory, and somebody's praying for you your brothers, your men are praying for you every week. Now I ask you to pick up your directory and pray for all the saints, Ephesians 6:18. And Paul then says, and pray on my behalf, the prayer is implied, and on my behalf also, he says, pray that utterance may be given to me in opening my mouth. So you pray for our teachers and preachers. You pray for those presenting and teaching the gospel, specifically. Prayer is powerful. You see, prayer does not prepare us. This is an Oswald Chambers quote. Prayer does not prepare us for a greater work. Prayer is the greater work. You want to know what to do as a soldier for Christ? It doesn't even say get on your knees, although I like the imagery of a soldier down on his knees. A soldier on his knees doesn't look like he's attacking. He doesn't look like he's offending. He looks humble and yet strong. But that's not even the image God gives us. That's just my own imagination. What God gives us is a soldier standing, shield up, helmet on, not moving an inch, sword in his hand, in constant prayer for his brothers and sisters. That's the warfare we're involved in. That's what God wants us to do. I'm not going to be able to get through the other scriptures I have here. Pray for all the saints. Pray at all times. Never give up. Trust God completely. Never your own righteousness. Pray for all your church family. I'm going to give you these scriptures, and I'm going to flip through the slides because I can't finish today. Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. Read Paul's prayer. Thank God for every one of you. In your prayer for each other, thank God for every one of you. Pray for God's wisdom. Paul did. Pray for God's wisdom and knowledge. Pray that your brother and sister will know God better. What an awesome prayer. Pray for their enlightenment. Pray for their hope. Pray that they will know God's power and strength. And then go on to Ephesians chapter 3, 14 through 20. Pray for great strength. Pray for great love. Broad faith and love. These are, in Ephesians 3, this is an expanded, huge prayer. Love that's broader and higher and deeper than you can imagine, and power so amazing you can't even imagine it. All that is part of God's prayer for the church, Paul's prayer for the church. So our prayer instruction, pray at all times, never give up. Trust God completely, never your own righteousness. Pray for all your church family. Pray for great things. Write this down in your notes, James 5, 13 through 18. Once again, pray for one another. Have the elders pray for the members. Pray for restoration and forgiveness. Pray for, our prayers are powerful, he says. Our prayers are effective. You're just like Elijah, he says. Elijah was a man just like us, and he prayed, and the rain stopped. For month after month after month after month, the rain stopped until Elijah opened his mouth again and prayed for relief. So our prayer instructions, pray at all times, never give up, trust God completely, never your own righteousness, pray for all your church family, pray for great things, pray for forgiveness, which is included in James 5, and your prayers are powerful. One of the amazing things about these teachings on prayer, and I'll just have to get back into it someday, is prayers of intercession. You know, Jesus continually intercedes for you in heaven. Jesus is in continual intercession on your behalf in heaven. Romans 8, 34 and Hebrews 7, 25. The Holy Spirit is with you in prayer and is in and intercedes for you, according to Romans 8, 26 and 27. And the Bible says when you intercede for your brothers and sisters, you pray for my sins, guess what it says it happens? God will forgive my sins. When you pray for one another's sins, the Bible says God forgives those sins. Don't ever let Satan win the argument that you're not important, that you're not strong, that nobody will notice if you don't show up. We are warriors, soldiers for Christ, with his armor. Put it on, stand firm, and pray. Please join me every day praying for this congregation. Get your own copy of the bulletin. Get your own copy of the directory and pray for one another, name by name by name. Pray that they'll know God better. Pray that they'll know God's power better. Pray that they'll be encouraged. Pray that their day will be powerful for the Lord. Pray that their sins will be forgiven by God. Pray for their relationships. Pray for their strength. Pray for their walk. You can pray for all of that and not even know what they look like. Pray for one another. If there's any here who have not been in Christ, if you've not been baptized, if your faith has gotten weak or caused you to stumble, whatever your need be, come forward while we stand and sing what Bruce has brought forward to us.